In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
Hour number two. I am your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Richard Battle joining us. He is back, I should say. Welcome back, Richard. How are you today?
John, thank you so much for having us, and we're doing fantastic. Thank you.
Always enjoy having you, Richard. By the way, everybody listening, Richard is a very common sense, you know, like myself, kind of takes that common sense approach to things, veteran business owner, analyst, speaker, media commentator, author of 6 books. I could go on down the line, but Richard's just a good guy. I enjoy having you on. We speak the same language. And really, I guess, Richard, what I want to talk about today is, you know, there's so much stuff going on in the country. I mean, everything from, in my opinion, the over-sensationalizing of COVID to, you know, Netflix putting out, you know, documentaries and you know, glorifying, you know, minor, you know, kids in sexual, you know, situations that, in my opinion, shouldn't be done. And on down the line we go. You almost wonder, where are we headed?
Well, I think that's a great question. And the election is going to be a pivot point one way or another, I believe.
Agreed.
If we want more of what we're seeing or less of what we're seeing. And I think that the tactics to respond to what we're seeing will change depending on who's elected.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly. In fact, we're seeing right now, Richard, in fact, we talk about this. We have a podcast we do here at Crawford Broadcasting where about four of us as hosts get together and we do a podcast from all around the country. And the thing we talked about today was, you know, the climate change aspect of things and how the left is now using that as a you know, kind of a resurgent tactic, if you would, to try to, you know, basically get Joe Biden to, you know, win the election here in November. And I'm not going to get into the nuances of climate change. I did that on the podcast. But the reality is, to me, this is what I see. And I think I, like you, take a pretty common sense approach to things. And what I see from my viewpoint in what's going on now is it's just this, almost this reaching out of, you know, what can we grab onto next to hopefully get something with some traction to win this election? Because frankly, Richard, I don't see them sticking with any one particular thing because frankly, they don't have it.
Well, it's going to be everything against the ceiling to see what sticks every day between now and Election Day.
Agree.
And I would just encourage everyone to watch multiple media sources, watch events live, and then compare it to the reporting to see which media sources you can trust, because I've never, ever seen it this bad as far as the misreporting on purpose of events.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. No, I think that's exactly right. The misreporting of everything from what's happening in riots to some of the shootings that have gone on. And I agree with you, Richard. And I, you know, I realize every single time, and I know it sounds sort of cliche, so oh, this is the most important election of our lifetime. I know we say that every single time. Unfortunately, we've cried wolf a lot, and they've all been important, Richard. I don't want to say or every takeaway from an election, because every single one of them from even a local school board is very important. Every one of them is important. I won't take anything away from that. But this one in particular, I do believe if we don't win this election, what will happen as a alternative to that will be ever-changing for our country. We will have a lot more illegal, you know, immigrants that get brought in that become legal that will change the makeup in the voting populace that we have. I believe the Electoral College is very much at risk if we don't win this next election. I can go on down the line, Richard, of things that I believe will change, that will literally change the face of America as we know it if we do not win this next election.
Well, I agree. And the way I would state it is, this is not an election Democrat-Republican conservative or liberal, but in my mind, it's an election of people that want American sovereignty and want to make America great again. I'll use that expression, and keep us as an independent country versus people that want us to be part of a global community and make us global, I'll say citizens, but in my mind, it's global slaves.
I agree. And I like the fact that you just said that it really isn't a Democrat versus a Republican election. It's really it's a battle for the soul of America right now, Richard. That's how I see it. Almost back to, I could almost liken it going all the way back into the 1700s and what our forefathers went through. I almost want to liken it to the same, because the reality is we are fighting. Much like when I was a kid, and I believe when you were a kid too, Richard, you and I watched all of the films talking about, you know, communist Russia and communist China and what the communists would do if they took over America. And I grew up watching a lot of those films as a kid, and I'm sure you probably did the same. And I feel like finally in my lifetime, this is really now finally become a reality, where this literally now is an election that will make the future of America either non-socialistic and non-communist, or it will take us in that direction, one or the other.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things I think people can look for, and I noticed in the riots out on the West Coast, you see signs that are made, and I always look at the bottom to see if I can see who sponsored those signs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones I noticed was revcom.us, and the audience can go there and look, and that's the New Communist Party USA. And there's a guy named Bob Avakian, who's led that organization since 1979. Actually, it's Revolutionary Communist Party USA, but what they're selling is what they call new communism.
Yeah.
And we know that's the same old thing in a new dress as it was before, but that's what they're selling. This time we're smarter. This time we will do it better. We will give you fairness and equality and end all of this strife that's going on.
Yeah, and you are exactly right. And those of you listening, if you want to look that up, just Google New Communist Movement and it'll pop right up, NCM. It's there. It's very easy to find. And Richard, you're exactly right. And that's what's happening in America. And to me, that's what we're battling this November. We're not battling, you know, Joe Biden specifically. We're battling an entire movement.
Well, that's exactly the case. And we can hear it when people do not like the sovereignty of the country. It goes to the protest. It goes to death to America in this country now. It goes to people wanting to be part of the global community. We talk and we hear people saying, media people, politicians, talking about being global citizens. I don't want to be a citizen of the world with some
fall
in Europe or someplace else. I want the closest government to me is the better.
I fully agree. The other thing, too, that is not getting much news right now, which I'm not flabbergasted by this, Richard, because I should have known it, but the big news right now that everyone should be focused on and talking about, because it's got huge implications, especially for us as the United States, is these deals that Trump is putting together between the Palestinian organizations and Israel, and that's not getting near enough press.
Well, and the neatest thing about this whole thing is, historically, the United States has tried to placate and negotiate with the Palestinians.
That's right.
And President Trump has turned that negotiation 180 degrees, and each deal he does further isolates the Palestinians and weakens them and will make them have to come to the table at some point.
That's right.
To get something better than nothing.
And for everybody listening, too, this is something else to remember, and Richard, you'll understand this. Part of what's enabled Trump, and this is something that the left, of course, will never give him credit for, but part of what's enabled Trump to come to the negotiating table and bring the United States in and be in really more of a position of power than we ever have been, Richard, is our energy independence as a country. We no longer rely on a lot of those Arab nations to make sure that we can actually, you know, feed our economy on a daily basis. That's had huge implications in this particular deal, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that does, and I think his position from a negotiating standpoint is totally different. Most politicians only negotiate with other politicians. they have no financial stake in a deal. Usually it's only for their ego and political standing. They have nothing to lose. They trade quid pro quos with each other,
mm-hmm.
both declare for victory and walk away to the next deal. Trump's used to negotiating where he has a financial stake. He has something to lose in a deal, but he also knows how to negotiate in a way to win in a deal for his side of the negotiation.
Which we are seeing as we speak. Again, I'm not surprised that this isn't getting any press, Richard, but there's been very little press brought out about it. And I don't think people really realize how big of a deal this really is. It's huge. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It is a big, big deal.
Well, I think it is huge, and we've seen similar tactics used with negotiations in the Congress and with China. And I'll give you an example. Last year when President Trump was negotiating the China deal, one day he said that we're not meeting with China because they're not ready to meet with us.
Right.
Well, the press and the public saw that as a position of weakness for the United States, that they're not ready to meet with us. Well, based on my negotiating experience, I knew that President Trump was sending them a message telling them that he was not going to meet with them because they did not have their minds right yet in the negotiation. So he was speaking from a position of strength instead of weakness.
And you know what? It's a whole lot easier, just for those listening, it's a lot easier to negotiate with someone when you're the guy that has control versus the someone that's really kind of bowing down, hoping for the best outcome. When you can control the situation, Richard, you're a business guy, an analyst. You know exactly what I mean by that. Anytime you've got the control over the situation, you have a better control over the outcome.
Well, yes, and he's proven in other negotiations where he's been willing to walk away, he's been willing to walk out of a meeting. He's illustrated using tactics that politicians don't normally do his strength because they have not had that experience. Most of them, including Joe Biden, have never done anything but be in politics, so they've mm-hmm. never negotiated deals with their own money, own companies, own reputations, and so their capabilities from a negotiating standpoint are far inferior to his.
Well, let's face it, Richard, the majority of politicians, I know there's a few out there, but the majority of politicians have never written a payroll check in their life.
Well, that's true. That's true. They've only cashed checks.
Right.
And there's a significant difference when you've got skin in the game and you've got something more to lose than some political reputation.
Well, and I'll go one step further even. I want to make sure I'm careful in this because I know there's a lot of great, you know, folks that work for other companies, managers, they watch things very closely. They act like an owner and they do a very good job. But typically speaking, there's a big difference between the owner writing the paycheck and even the manager managing said employee with paycheck. And to your point, when you've got skin in the game, which owners have, it changes everything.
Absolutely. If you have something significant to lose, it is a major difference in how you perceive the negotiation. Lee Trevino, the golfer, they asked him years ago about the pressure of playing in professional golf matches and the pots and the prizes that he was winning. And he told him, he said, there's no pressure on that at all. He said, the real pressure was when I was coming up and I was playing in a $2 Nassau and I didn't have the money to make the payment if I lost.
Right.
That was pressure.
Well said. No, that is exactly a great example. And I think, you know, what you said earlier is very true, that these politicians that typically in the past have negotiated have never had any skin in the game. So when they start negotiating, they don't think about even the American citizen. And I think, to me, that's the thing I think I appreciate the most about President Trump. And we could talk for the next 2 hours about the things people like or don't like about Trump. And I get all that. But the reality is, Richard, I didn't hire a pastor to run the country. I didn't hire a priest to run the country. I hired a CFO, a CEO, I should say, to actually run the country and do what I want him to do, and he works for me. And as far as I'm concerned, when I look at it that way, President Trump is doing a good job for me as a person that hired him to get that job done.
Yes, and the way I would describe that is I think he has what I would call a lunch bucket mentality. He's worked with people up and down the ladder of companies over many years. He's talked with them. He showed them empathy. He understands the things that they go through day to day in a business where the politicians are normally removed except for the people that call or write them asking for things. They don't talk to the entire public.
The other thing, too, that I like about President Trump, and I don't think we talk enough about this, and I get where a lot of folks come from, Christians included, where they talk about how, you know, he needs to be nicer and not tweet this or not tweet that. But I guess I liken him, Richard, to a guard dog. So if I have a junkyard and I want to make sure I keep all the stuff inside the junkyard really good, safe, and secure. Back in the day, you know, you used to get three or four dogs around the place. You'd throw them a few steaks here and there, but really they had to kind of fend for themselves. And at night, you just lock the gate behind you and let the dogs run loose because the dogs were going to make sure that everything inside that yard was protected. And frankly, I didn't need them to talk nice to the guy trying to climb the fence. I needed them to bark and bite the guy if he jumped over. And the reality is that's what I want President Trump to do, and that's what he's doing.
Well, and that goes back to another area of motivation, and that is, what does he do after he leaves office, whenever that is? And most every politician always uses their current office to jockey for their next gig.
Yeah, well said.
Whether it be office, a lobbyist position, a board position in some company, they're always looking for how they leverage what they do today for that next position.
Well said.
He does not have that, so he does not have that pressure.
Yeah, well said. Richard, as always, I appreciate you joining us. I appreciate your time so much. You're welcome anytime. By the way, folks listening, you can find Richard at richardbattle.com. He is the author of Conquering Life's Course, Common Sense in Chaotic Times, which, by the way, is about as appropriate now as it's ever been. Richard, again, I appreciate you joining us. It's always a joy having you, and love to have you back again.
Thank you, John. My pleasure, and God bless Colorado.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it very much, and God bless you, Richard, as well. Mighty Hand Construction is next, guys, and we heard from them the other day where, you know, literally they will take care of anything you need done around the house, including roof, windows, siding, and even remodeling inside. They're looking for some projects up north right now when it comes to the remodel, so if you've got a remodel project, give them a call. And you can get your free roof inspection as well. Go to klzradio.com or call 970-844-9191.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
All right, and if you want a way to actually pay for some of those upgrades, Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, can help you with that. Kurt will join us tomorrow. We're going to talk a lot more about how you can do some of those things, increase the value of your home, and at the end of the day, most likely not spend any more money on a monthly basis. In fact, you might save some money by the time Kurt's done. So give him a call today. Find out how. 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Got another special guest joining us here in a few minutes here. We're going to talk about personality tests and how this particular author has designed one for Joe Biden and Donald Trump, and he will tell you which one's going to win this upcoming election based upon that. In the meantime, though, the state of Hawaii has approved Kauai in the use of what they call resort bubbles. So Governor Iggy is set to approve a voluntary resort bubble program on Kauai in the hopes to bring tourism revenue back to the county this week. The Enhanced Movement Quarantine Program, more commonly known as the resort bubble, will have safe policies to protect employees and guests, all while allowing quarantine to travelers to take advantage of the resort property, including pools and on-site restaurants. Because keep in mind, folks, no one tourist-wise is going to Hawaii right now. In fact, it's gotten so bad in Hawaii that their unemployment is at an all-time high, whopping, get this, 20%. 20%. They are being decimated in the fact that they've not reopened and allowed tourism in. And I tell you what, it is absolutely the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I get they're an island. I get that they're out in the middle of nowhere. I get that they want to be careful with what they bring in. But the reality is they are killing their own economic climate, if you would. And that is going to have, in my opinion, longer lasting effects than if they let people come in, even if some actually happen to have COVID. The reality is, and we all know the outcome with COVID in certain sections of society, as long as those of the most vulnerable are protected, people could come and go, and it wouldn't be a problem. But anyways, Kauai has come up with this resort bubble, if you would, that lets an actual outsider come in, enjoy all the facilities and that at that particular resort. They can't leave the resort. In fact, if they do, it notifies hotel staff and the Kauai Police Department that they have left, which is a little draconian, if you ask me. But the reality is, I guess if you want to go to Hawaii, that's how they're going to do it. Now, frankly, I am one that if you're just going to go and hang out at a resort all day long, I don't think it would be going to Hawaii. There's a lot of other places that have very nice resorts that you don't have to live inside of some bubble to go enjoy. But yeah, their insured unemployment rate, this doesn't even say all of the unemployment, but just the insured unemployment rate in Hawaii is 20.3% for the week ending August 22nd. And it's absolutely awful there. And there's just no way they're going to recover until they get things open back up and they get tourism back. It's absolutely ridiculous. The state of Hawaii's cumulative total of COVID cases is only 11,000 cases statewide. Statewide, that's on all islands, folks. And if you've been to Hawaii and you look at the millions that are on Oahu plus the other outer-lying islands, 10,000 cases is not that much. It's absolutely criminal what they're doing in Hawaii and keeping that particular state shut down. And you cannot blame, by the way, Donald Trump for the Governor Iggy's stupid response to COVID, but that's another conversation for another day. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. And no matter what you've got going on with your vehicle, and if you're looking at doing an upgrade, they can help you with that. So new, used, they've got you covered. Doesn't matter what it is. It's like buying a car back in time, and I mean that sincerely. Give them a call today, 303-659-8311, or visit them online at purifychevrolet.com.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purefoy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I've bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Folks, does your kitchen work the way you want it to? What I mean by that is it, you know, convenient? Do you hang out there? Do your guests like hanging out there? Do you have all the things that you need to prepare the things for your family to make all that function? As we get closer to the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas just around the corner, give Enchanted Kitchens a call and see what they can do for you. It's easy. It's simple. It's a free consultation. Go to klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining me today. I do appreciate it. Merrick Rosenberg joining us now, author of Personality Wins, Who Will Take the White House, and How We Know. Merrick, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it very much. So I love personality tests. I just, you know, all of us have different personalities. It has a lot to do with what we do in life and how we even view life at times, I believe. And I guess what you've done is develop a personality test for Trump and Biden.
Absolutely. And all the presidents.
Okay, so all the presidents. Okay, so give us a synopsis.
So, well, I've tried to make it easy. So I'll give you four core styles. I've linked them to birds so that it makes it nice and simple.
Okay.
First off, we've got the eagle. Eagles are direct. When you picture an eagle, you picture that confidence, that soaring at 10,000 feet, big picture. They are, they have that results orientation. They want to make things happen now.
Yep.
Then you've got parrots. Parrots are talkative, social, they're outgoing, they're fun. They just have a lot of energy and charisma.
Okay.
Next up, the dove. Doves, you can probably imagine they're the universal symbols of harmony,
love, hope, peace,
exactly.
All of that.
Yes. And the owl. And owls are logical and analytical, detail-oriented. So when you picture these styles, you got like Trump, obviously more of that eagle. You've got the parrot, somebody like a Reagan or a Bill Clinton or JFK, that energy. You've got the dove, like a Jimmy Carter, somebody like Pete Buttigieg, we can see in this election, owls like a George H.W. Bush, or if you like an Elizabeth Warren, you know, she always said, I have a plan for that. That's very owl. And that's the four. And everybody's not just one, you're a combination of all four, but there's probably one that's like home base for you.
And just a side note for everybody listening, I'm not saying there's anything bad with any of those personality traits, but it's always a but. But Merrick, you and I both know that when it comes to leadership and actually running organizations and countries especially, there are personality types of those, you know, of those four that do much better at running things than the others. And I think we all know which one does the best.
Well, you know, here's what's interesting about that. There's certain styles that win elections. Eagles and parrots beat doves and owls every time. In fact, since 1932, 22 straight elections, that big energy of the eagle and the parrot beats the doves and the owls. And they've done it for 84 years. I mean, literally for all this time, 22 straight elections. But not necessarily one better or worse. I mean, look in the business world. You have like a Steve Jobs, who was an eagle, self-made billionaire. Bill Gates, owl, self-made billionaire. Richard Branson's a parrot. Howard Schultz from Starbucks, more of a dove.
Yeah.
Here's four self-made billionaires. They all were incredibly successful. So what happens is your personality doesn't determine how successful you'll be, but it absolutely determines how you go about being successful.
And I agree with that. And I appreciate, you know, what you just said a moment ago, although the only thing I would even caution, you know, listeners on is while some of those folks that were, you know, that have made billions of dollars. I'll use Bill Gates for an example. Bill Gates, great guy. I think he's conniving in a lot of ways. I don't particularly care for the business model when he made all of his money at Microsoft, but the reality is he made his money. I don't know where you would fit him into this. I think some people would say that he's a dove or an owl, although I think in some cases he might be a parrot, but he is definitely not an eagle. And I think the problem I have with Bill Gates is I can't figure out from one day to the next which one of those other three he actually is. My point is, Merrick, I would not want Bill Gates running my country.
Right. Well, what happens is when you look back at past presidents, we are finding over and over and over again that these eagles and parrots are running the country. In fact, the only time that owls or doves, which is Bill Gates, he's kind of that owl,
yep,
secondary dove style,
yep,
the only time those people win is when they're running against another dove or owl.
That's right.
So take a Jimmy Carter,
yeah,
clearly the dove. Well, he ran against Ford, another dove.
Another dove.
Okay, a dove is winning that election. But then you put him up against Ronald Reagan's charisma,
yep,
and that parrot energy, and it's game over.
Yeah.
And George H.W. Bush said the same thing. He's an owl. Well, he ran against Dukakis, who's an owl. But then, of course, he goes against Bill Clinton's parrot charisma, and it's not a contest. Well, it's a personality contest, but he's not going to win. And that kept happening over and over and over again.
So can you go all the way back through each election, clear back to almost the beginning, and do the same thing over and over again?
Over and over. Well, what happens? Here's where it gets tricky. At 1932, the model flips.
Okay.
Prior to 1932, overwhelmingly owls and doves. First five presidents, owls. Six presidents leading up to the Civil War, all doves. And so think about it. Here, we'll put you on the spot here. 1932, why would big energy and charisma and energy change at that point when FDR becomes president?
Well, we just had the Great Depression and had the Industrial Revolution, and the country was looking for leadership.
They were, and you know where they learned about leadership? Radio.
Ah, good
at
point.
That moment.
Yes.
Right, at that moment, prior to that point, where did you learn about candidates? You read about them in the paper.
That's right.
And owls sounded very wise, and doves were very methodical, and they sounded like they cared.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, all of a sudden, here comes FDR's big, booming voice reaching 60 million people.
And radio came along in 1921, basically. So, yeah, it makes total sense.
Yeah, and then, of course, TV, and then we all know what happened with Nixon versus Kennedy. As soon as we started seeing them,
yes,
now Nixon doesn't look so good.
Yeah, Tricky Dick didn't look near as good as a JFK, did he?
Right, and now we have social media, and you know you can't put detailed plans in a tweet.
No,
you can't capture sound bites that an owl has a hard time presenting all their data in a sound bite, and that's what we do today. We get these little snippets of information, and so eagles and parrots just keep winning, and I think they're going to keep winning because that's how we look at presidents and we say, I want that. I want that energy and charisma.
Okay, so this one's easy. Donald Trump and eagle. I mean, that one's a slam dunk. You don't even have to even think about that one to know where he is. What is Joe Biden?
You don't think he's a dove? You don't think Trump's a dove?
No, he is not a dove. No, he eats doves for breakfast.
He's picking dove feathers out of his talent.
That's right.
Yeah, Joe Biden, when you look back at his career, he's been a parrot throughout his career.
Yeah,
it's why he makes those verbal mistakes and those gaffes.
Yeah,
parrots speak before they think. Their mouth goes so quickly, and all of a sudden he's like, oh no, did I just say that out loud? And now he has to walk it back, and the spin team kicks into action. And what we've seen right now, however, is that the Democrats are going all in on Biden's secondary style, which is his dove. If you watch the Democratic convention, if there's one word that embodied what they were trying to create as the image of Biden, it was empathy.
Yes.
And that is a dove word. And
yes.
So, but think about it. That's a fairly questionable strategy based on everything I just shared.
I think it's awful
eagles
strategy,
beat
Merrick.
Doves. Yeah, eagles beat doves.
Right.
Why are you going all in on the dove? Tune up and dial up.
And that's a great question. Other than in their particular camp, and we even heard this week from Harris, is that, you know, because she's more of the parrot slash, you know, I don't know whether she's an eagle or a parrot. I don't know her well enough
right. You're already reading it. You can see that eagle and parrot in her. They're both very strong.
Yeah, and I think the Democrats are looking at that as the side to beat Donald Trump. But that's really, you know, no offense, people don't vote for VP, they vote for the president.
That's correct. And if I were advising the Biden camp, I would say, hey, Eagles and Parrots are a toss-up. Eagles can beat Parrots. Parrots can beat Eagles. But Eagles have beaten Doves every election. And anytime there's been that contest since 1932, 22 times in a row, the Doves haven't won. Why are you going all in on empathy? You should be going all in on charisma. But I think the reason they're doing it is two reasons. One, they're contrasting Trump's Eagle style.
Mm-hmm.
And two, when Biden gets into parrot mode and he starts talking fast and he starts getting excited, he makes verbal mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're saying, look, let's slow it down. Let's frame you as compassionate and empathetic and focus on what he would say the soul of the nation. That is such a dumb phrase. You know, the soul of our nation.
Right.
And they're slowing him down, and they're focusing on his Dove style. And you can see, you know, even without learning and knowing these birds, you look at it and you're like, yeah, I get it. I can see it in action. It's right there in front
of
me.
No, and you're correct. And again, I go back to what you said a moment ago. I really don't understand their particular style this time around, because typically they're very much the fighter and want to win, you know, elections. I'm not saying they don't want to win this one. I just think the way they're going about it is backwards.
And what they did was they picked a parrot and eagle combo for their VP candidate, which is often what happens. You pick a VP, not because it gets you some demographic or a region of the country. Data says that that's not true. Because VPs don't even win their home state sometimes.
Right.
They pick a candidate who contrasts or complements the personality.
That's right.
Take Donald Trump, eagle.
Mike Pence.
He takes a more calm and measured Mike Pence. Look back in history of Reagan, parrot.
Right.
Takes an owl, George H.W. Bush. Bill Clinton, parrot, takes an owl in Al Gore.
Gore.
That's what happened.
Right.
And so what you have is you have this dove and parrot combo playing out for Biden, so they're going for that more
aggressive. And they're going against the eagle and owl.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, no offense, I look at that and I just think that there's no way, and you know what, that's ever gonna happen and play out, because there's no way that the parrot and dove are going to beat the eagle owl.
Right, and now, in the debate, you've got an eagle and that owl or eagle and parrot combo and Kamala, who's going to go against Mike Pence, which is why everybody's been saying, or you hear a lot of people saying, well, that's going to be interesting. She's got that prosecutor style. It's not a prosecutor.
But Mike Pence is no slouch when it comes to debating. That's the one thing that'll be in his court.
He isn't. Look, he was on radio for a decade.
Right.
He knows how to interact with people.
Yeah. Yeah, he does very well. In fact, there's been some lately that talked about even the nomination speeches, you know, at the RNC, talking about how good, you know, a lot of folks didn't think that Trump was strong enough, you know, coming out of the gate there. I think he did fine, because he was trying to go to the middle of the road anyways, and I think the Republicans were trying to paint him up more that way, but they let Pence just roar along, and he did.
And what you're seeing is people wanted Trump to be more of the eagle that he's always been.
Right.
And in his speech at the Republican convention, it was pre-written, so they dialed down his eagle.
They did.
And you can see the eagle got dialed down, because when he's at his rallies, he dials up his eagle.
Right.
And he just turns it on, and his raving fans absolutely eat it up.
Okay, so question on all of this, when it comes to, my son and I were talking about this morning, you know, actually on my way here, talking about, you know, just the election and how things are going to look as we get into November and so on. How do you think that middle of the road independent voter is looking at either side of this?
I think when you look at Trump's personality got him elected. This is the biggest personality contest we'll ever see.
True.
It's the presidential election. And Trump's personality, because when he went against Hillary, eagle versus owl, he dialed up eagle. Eagle wins the day. But what happens sometimes for any style is that when you dial up the energy of your style, of your personality, you overuse it. You're in the eagle's case, assertive becomes aggressive, direct becomes sometimes insensitive or offending people.
Right.
Confidence can become arrogance or narcissism.
Right.
And what I think the danger that Donald Trump has created for himself is his personality won the election in 2016. But because he's overusing his personality right now and has done so, it could be his undoing. If he loses, It's going to be because of his personality. He even said it to Chris Wallace. It was during that interview where Chris Wallace had turned to Trump and said, hey, you know, Fauci's approval rating is higher than yours. And Trump said, you know, the only thing I can point to is there must be something in my personality that people don't like. And I thought, he gets it. That was such a moment of self-awareness. He's right. It's not that he's an eagle. It's not that it's his policies. It's not that it's his platform. It's that he's overusing his strengths, and his greatest asset could become his greatest liability. So if it were just eagle versus that carrot dove, I would hands down give the day to Trump. All along the last election, I kept saying the whole time, I'm telling you, Hillary's an owl, Trump's an eagle.
Yeah.
You can look at the polls, but I don't care. I'm just telling you, it hasn't happened in 21 elections. But I think Trump could lose it because he's overused his style. And those middle-of-the-road voters, they focus on personality. You know, the people, there's people on the red team are always going to vote for the Republicans. People on the blue team that are strongly Democrat are always going to vote for the Democrats. But the people in the middle, they vote for personality. And Trump may have overplayed his hand, and that could be his undoing.
Okay, so if you had to pick one today, I know we've got a couple of months left here, and a lot of things could change, and you know, Trump and the debates and all the different things there, and what, you know, there's a lot to be seen. I get it, but if you had to pick today, who is it, Biden or Trump?
I actually think that Trump has so overused his personality that he's turned off so many voters that the middle of the road is going to swing to the left, and it's going to be Biden. And he's going to break my model, which I'm not very happy about.
Well, if there's any consolation, I will disagree with you there, because I agree with what you're saying. But I also think that between the riots that are really wearing on people, COVID, which a lot of folks know has been hyped up by the news media and the left, you know, for political gain, and they're just sick and tired of wearing masks, I think, Merrick, because of the three things I just said, Trump wins.
And that's very possible, but here's where it gets fascinating. Throughout history, all of these events that are taking place, they don't seem to really matter to the voters. I mean, if you looked at whether we were at war, whether the economy was booming, or we were in a recession or a depression, whether it was two new candidates or one of them's an incumbent, in every election, personality has won the day.
Okay.
And none of those things matter. But look, if I'm basing it off the model, it goes to Trump. But my experience when I work with people in corporations is that when I see those CEOs and I see those leaders who overuse their strength, it frustrates their people so significantly. And I think we've watched that happen. So we'll see.
Okay. Time will tell. The good stuff. No, I appreciate it. We'll have you back as we get closer.
That sounds great.
Merrick, thanks. I appreciate it. Merrick Rosenberg again, Personality Wins, Who Will Take the White House, and we earn how we know. Merrick, thanks again. Take care, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. And Bob from Purify is going to join us in just 1 minute. Don't go anywhere. Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, and you can find him today at klzradio.com or call 303-467-7821.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bob from Purify joining us now. Bob, what's going on, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
I am good. What's happening at Purify?
Well, it's just the usual. I will tell you, inventory on new is still a little bit of a challenge,
okay,
but they are real strong on incentives. We got $5,000 cash on 2020 Silverado half tons.
Okay.
Colorados are 10% off MSRP.
Wow.
Plus $750 if you own a 06 or newer non-General Motors car. And then 15% off Trax and Equinox, plus the $750. If you own a non-GM 06 and newer.
Great.
So that's pretty strong money. And we've actually had some inventory rolling in here and there, you know, dribs and drabs. But nice thing is when we do sell something like that, we get phenomenal trades. I've got really, really nice used truck inventory. One vehicle I did want to tell your listeners about, we traded for a 2016 Toyota Tundra 1794.
Oh, yeah.
So that's their special edition truck.
Yep, that's their special edition truck, yeah.
Really nice truck.
Yep.
Has everything you can imagine, moonroof, hard loaded. I've got that thing sale priced for the month of September at $35.9.
Okay. It's a good
and
deal.
And it's a super, super truck.
Yeah, those are great trucks, by the way. Really is.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of, strangely enough, I have a lot of imports. You know, people don't necessarily come here looking for imports on the used car lot, but we've traded for several. I've got a nice Tacoma. I have a CRV. I got a 4Runner I just traded for. So I've traded for some decent inventory.
Okay, good deal.
Import inventory. So.
All right, good stuff. Bob, as always, I appreciate it very much. Folks, go out to Purefoy Chevrolet. Like I say, it's like going back in time to buy a car, and you can find them at purefoychevrolet.com.
Thanks, sir.
Bob, thanks. I appreciate it very much. John and Cheyenne, you are next. Got a couple of minutes. What's going on, sir?
Hey, I was screaming at the dashboard and using words that I would have to go to confession for when you were talking about Kawhi.
I'm sorry.
They have lost their mind.
They have lost their mind.
I was looking online. It seems like they're still thinking about doing that October 1st, where if you have a COVID test 72 hours prior, you don't have to quarantine.
Right.
But you've been to Kauai more than once?
Yes.
What resort, other than the Kauai Marriott, has more than a small restaurant?
None. Princeville. Exactly. I mean, the Princeville Hotel has, you know, some decent stuff at it, but there's basically two on the whole island. That's it.
Right. Most, like, I've got two timeshares there. They don't have restaurants on the property.
No.
And here's another thing. How are you going to go out and get groceries if you're staying in a timeshare and you want to not eat every meal at it?
I do whatever form of the door delivery stuff they might have there, if they'll even allow it. I don't know, John. Great question.
Yeah. So these are the questions when you hear this governor, you're like, you're going to destroy your state.
Guy's a moron. I hate to use that word, but really, John, he's an utter moron. He's destroying his own state. 20% unemployment right now. Well, what a knucklehead.
And you've been there enough times. You talk to some of these young kids. They're working two and three jobs as is in a good economy because it's so expensive to live there. Whereas in an economy like this, they've got to have, plus, you know, the welfare rolls have got to be through the roof. And the homeless problem, which you do see on all the islands, has got to be getting worse.
So if you show up as a homeless person, do they let you in?
From what I understand, you have to have a place to go for 2 weeks, matter who you are.
I'm tongue-in-cheek, but it would make you wonder, because that's probably the only way you could actually get on the island.
Yeah. Most people there, when I talked to a couple of people that live there, they said most of the homeless came because they saw this Hawaii, like on Hawaii 5.0 and stuff.
Right.
And they thought they could just hang out and have a little easy job, and they can't afford rent or anything, so they wind up sleeping on the beach.
Yep.
So I don't know. My wife and I, we usually go in November, and we don't know where we're going.
All right, good luck on that one. Yep. Hey, John, I got to let you run. Good stuff. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I appreciate the call very much. Let's do this. Franktown Firearms is next. Whether you're a novice shooter or somebody that's really experienced, they have you covered on both ends of the spectrum. They got lots of inventory in stock, including ammo. And don't forget about the full range that's there as well. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Instead of transporting your firearms to and from the range, you can store them safely on-site at the Franktown Firearms Armory. After purchasing a firearm, the team at Franktown recommends that you shoot consistently with your own gun on the range, as well as signing up for one of their proprietary training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can develop confidence handling your gun. You can also store your firearms temporarily while you're on vacation or protect your heirloom weapons without taking up space in your gun safe at home. The team at Franktown prides themselves on developing long-term relationships with their clients. They see beginners turn into experts all the time. First-time buyers come in looking for guidance and come back because they're having fun. Learn to shoot with confidence in a family atmosphere. Store your firearms at Franktown. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for pricing. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Next up is Mark Chenoweth. He's been with us before. We're going to talk about landlords, the rule of law, and how all of this COVID is affecting them. So that's up next. And then we've also got Bill Higgs joining us. Why are unrealistic requests putting a drag on your business? So that plus more. We'll be back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.